Beloved congregation, it is well known, I think, to all of you that Dr. Martin Luther, that he once made a statement that the 2 days of the year which are the most important, that it is Good Friday and Easter. And of course, that is based on the eternal Word of God, because Paul, he wrote in Romans 4, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, that Good Friday, that is also called many times the payday for God's church. Christ came that he, through his active and passive obedience, that he satisfied the justice of his Father, that he glorified all his attributes which we have violated in our deep fall in Adam, that he had taken away the curse of the law under which that we are all living by nature, one with consciousness, another one indifferent, and that also that Christ came to pay with his blood for all the guilt and for all the sin of his elect people. That he had done it out of love for his people, and that through his death enemies are reconciled with God, bringing them back into communion and fellowship with God, that it may please the Lord congregation to give all of us deep impression of it in this evening, and that the greatest thing for you and me, that it become reality between our cradle and our grave. Also this evening and this day, we have to think about those that were taken away out of our midst in the first part of this year. And it can go with us the same thing, that for the last time in this, in our life, that we will hear that gospel preached towards us, and that another year that we are no more in the land of living, and that it is eternity for us too. And what shall it be, congregation, to die without Christ? Without een God voor our hart en een surety voor our soul. There is nothing in this world that can fill our heart and our soul. It is all empty. It is all vexation, cessation of spirit, idleness. But Christ declared in Proverbs 8, who findeth me, findeth life, and obtain mercy from the Lord. This evening, we will speak a little while to you with the help of the Lord about what have taken place when Christ bowed his head and gave up the ghost. My text for this evening is in the Gospel of Matthew, the 27th chapter, verse 51. Matthew 27, verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Thus far. Especially, my subject will be this evening, that the veil of the temple was rent. When, wherefore, how, and for which? When, wherefore, how, and for which? That are the two points. You all know, congregation, that there are three veils. A veil was in the tabernacle and in the temple. We speak also about a veil of heaven, and in the third place, a veil of our heart. My first thought this evening is, when was that veil of the temple rent in twain? About that veil, we read in the Exodus 26, verse 31. There the command of the Lord was, and thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple, of scarlet and fine twined linen, of cunning work, with cherubims shall it be made. That was the command of the Lord, and they have done it already in the time of Moses. A veil that made a separation between the holy and the holiest. There were, of course, as you know, three parts in the tabernacle and in the temple. There was a porch where the people could come. Then there was the holy place, only the priest and the Levites, they were allowed to come there. And then finally, the Holy of Holies, that was where the mercy seat was. And above the mercy seat, the two cherubims. And in the midst of those cherubims, there was a cloud. And in that cloud, the Lord was dwelling there with his presence. It was, as you know, it was not permitted for anybody, even not for a king or for a prophet in Israel and for the common priest, that they ever entered into the Holy of Holies. It was once a year, the great day of atonement, that the high priest entered into that place. And then he always, that was also a command of the Lord, also then he entered there always going backwards. That immediately when he came to the Holy of Holies place, that heavy veil, that fell down, and that nobody ever could look in that place, because there was the Lord himself. And that high priest on the Day of Atonement, he came there with a scale of blood in his hand, sprinkling that upon and before the mercy seat. Upon the mercy seat that refers to the reconciliation with God, and before the mercy seat, that means on the floor, he sprinkled also blood there, because nobody, no man, could ever stand before the Lord than only sprinkled with the blood of Christ, with the blood of the Lamb. And as soon as that high priest had sprinkled that blood to make reconciliation for himself and reconciliation for the people, then he came back to the congregation who was waiting for his blessing that he lays upon the people. He was stretching out his arms and his hands, and in the name of a triune God, then he blessed there the people with that blessing that you find in Numbers 6, verse 24 to 26. And now maybe you ask me something about that veil, because it must be of purpose. And why of purpose? The purpose that refers to the majesty of God. The scarlet was referring to the justice of God. And then the cherubims who were there upon that veil, and that the people saw there so far as it was permitted, those cherubims, they brought that people back to what have taken place in paradise, where after the fall of Adam and after the separation that man had made with the Lord, that the Lord had placed there an angel with a flaming sword in his hand, that nobody ever could enter into that paradise and would take the fruit of the tree of life which was in the midst of that paradise. Thus, that veil that was a preaching of the triune God in his justice and in his righteousness, and also what we became in our deep fall in Adam. Since a sin in paradise, there is a separation, people. A separation between God and men. Who shall see God and live? Not one man. But of course, the greatest trouble in our life is this, that our life by nature, that it is indifferent. By nature, that we are not concerned, truly concerned, about our state and our condition. By nature, then we are living even as that there is no God in heaven. Then we are living congregation as we never shall appear, have to appear before the Lord. Because we are dead in trespasses and sin. But now, the Father had given in this world his only begotten Son as a propitiation for our sin. In different places of the Bible, there you find that the Lord himself declared that he did found none to deliver anybody. None. And amongst even the holy angels who have a wonderful power, one angel he killed in the night, all the firstborn in Egypt, but also one angel he killed 185,000 Assyrians in the time of Hezekiah, also in one night. But all those holy angels who never have sinned, who have always done the will of God, they can never be a mediator because they are no God and they are no men. And now to fulfill God's eternal counsel, therefore the Father had given his only begotten Son. And it was required in the Council of Peace that Son, that he here in the time coming in this world, that he would assume our human nature. Why? That he could suffer and that he could die. And that he could give his soul as a ransom for many. The mediator, the appointed mediator by God to reconcile God with a sinner and to reconcile a sinner with God. There are no words, congregation, to describe the wisdom of God to find out such a way that all the attributes of the Lord shall be glorified, that sinners brought back in the communion and fellowship with God. Paul, he wrote in Romans 11, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And now Christ came here in this world to perform the work that the Father had placed upon his shoulder. He had done that for 33 years. And his suffering, you know that, we read that in the Catechism and also in that question book of Hellenbroek, that the suffering of Christ started when he came here in this world. But that it is also in that same catechism that it aggravated at the end of his life. And we have heard now again for 7 weeks, by renewal after so many years, from step to step, what the suffering was of that blessed Christ here on earth. What it had cost him in soul and in body to satisfy the justice of God and also to redeem and to deliver his people and to open the way of salvation for and in himself wretched people and creatures. A wonder that we never can fathom with our mind and with our heart. Never. Christ, he died on Calvary's cross. He had to die. But he also, let us not forget it, he also was willing to die. This was what required of him on account of the justice and the truth of God. But Christ was co-equal with the Father and with the Holy Ghost. And it was therefore necessary that he also show his will to do it. He had done it in Psalm 40. I have a delight to do thy will, and thy law is in my heart. Because he was driven in his whole life by the honor of the Lord and by the salvation and deliverance of his people. He had emptied the cup that the Father had placed upon his hand, people. And if we as creatures, as sinful creatures, if we have to drink one drop of that cup, then we have died forever and forever. Because who knows the strength of thy power? God's wrath that is as a fire that is burning and that never shall be quenched. Christ came under the wrath of God when he came here in this world. And it was only that his divine nature has upholded his human nature. Otherwise, he never could stand it. and he never could come through it. There is not one soul in the world that can ever come through it, people. And if you now think that we have to die uncomforted, and then forever under the wrath of God, and under the curse of God, and that there never shall come any relief, that there never is any moment that we shall receive one drop of water, but to all eternity, under the wrath of God. And of course now Christ, he came out it and he came through it. Therefore my first point this evening, that text said, and behold the veil of the temple was rent. When? That was when Christ died on Calvary's cross. That was at that moment when he bowed his head and that he gave up the ghost. We gave up the ghost and then our head is bowed down. But the death of Christ was different, because he said in John 10, I lay my life down and I take it up again. This commandment I have received from my Father. Christ died not as a martyr. He died not as God's people, but Christ, he died there as a surety and as the mediator of his people. And he faced death with all the results and with all the power and with all the stings of it. But he came out and he came through it. And then immediately that he had given up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple that was rent. That was rent. That was the first fruit of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Later on, then you read in the Bible that the earth did quake and the rocks rent, that the graves were opened, and that many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And you read about the centurion that he said, truly this was the Son of God, and that many people go back to Jerusalem smiting their breasts under strong convictions, because the Lord brought back to them what they have done, and the Spirit reproves them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. But now the main thing, people, the main thing that is, that the veil of the temple was rent. The Jewish rabbis, they say that veil was 4 fingers thick. Such a heavy veil it was. And now it was in one moment that veil that rent, congregation. And the greatest wonder and miracle was that it was rent from the top to the bottom. Well, we have curtains. Many times they are rent. But in such a way, but never from the bottom to the top. Never. Why from the top to the bottom, congregation? Because God the Father had done it. The Father rent that veil on account that he was satisfied with the mediatorial work of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And now out of heaven, the Father gave there and clear testimony that now by the death of Christ, that the way of salvation was opened, that now everybody that he free can enter to the throne of grace with all the needs and with all the wants. And the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Therefore it was rent, because that Christ, he cried on Calvary's cross, "It is finished." In that full consciousness that he had done now all that the Father had required of him, all that lay before him in eternity, in the Council of Peace, because the Son of God had known Bethlehem. He had known that he had to live in Nazareth. He had known that he would be not accepted of his own people, that they would reject him, refused him, that they would kill him. He had known that there would come at the end of his life in Gethsemane, where his blood was as great drops of blood. He had known that he had to stand before Pilate, who sentenced him to death and to be crucified. And he had known that he had to come to Calvary's cross, where they have pierced his hands and his feet, and where he was forsaken of God for 3 hours, that there came darkness over the whole world. In the Council of Peace then, the Son of God had known already that all that was prophesied by the prophets in the Old Testament, that he had to fulfill that from the beginning to the end, people. That all those promises must be fulfilled. And now he was hanging there on the cross of Calvary. And then he said, "It is finished." The Father had no more to require anything of his Son and of the surety of the church. No. All the hindrances, all the mountains, all the depths, it was all filled by that Christ. Because he is a perfect Savior, a perfect Mediator, a one that had not much done, but a one that had done everything to the justifying of the righteousness of God and to the deliverance of his people. Oh, congregation, we have nothing to do than only to believe in the name of the Son of God, and to believe in the Son of God, that is the work of the Lord in the heart, in the hearts of all his elect people, and that is wrought by the Holy Spirit, and to believe in him, that is to rest in him, to rely upon him, to place all our hope and all our expectation upon him as the way, the life and the truth. It is finished. Wherefore rent that veil from the bottom, from the top to the bottom. That was only because Christ had satisfied his Father. And he had done everything that was necessary. The Father, in other words, he have nothing to ask from his people. No. They have not to add it to their salvation. One sigh,
Or long cry, nothing. Nothing at all. Only to rest upon him. And as I told you, to rely upon his mediatorial work. And of course, where Christ now had finished the work, that means that he had taken away also all the guilt and all the sin of his people. And when the Lord opened our eyes, congregation, then he come to the realization that we have nothing else than sin and guilt in our life. That we are black and that we are lepers from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. And that we never can stand before the Lord. That we never can pay one penny to pay off all our guilt and all our sin. But Christ, he had done it. And that price that he laid in the heavenly balance before his Father, that was his precious blood. Therefore, Paul, he wrote to the congregation of the Corinthians, you are bought with a high price. Not only that he paid for the sin and for the transgressions, but that he also bought that people personally, and that he delivered him out of the claws of the devil, and that he lay him in the arms of Christ, and that Christ bring him in the arms of his Father, back in that sweet communion and fellowship with God. Therefore, congregation, what must we admire that Christ, who had given his soul as a ransom for many? What must all that is in us, what must it praise and glorify the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he had done that freely, that he had done it willingly, that he had done it with his whole heart, and that to deliver that people out of that state of death, to break all that enmity that is in their heart, to bring them on their knees as beggars. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that instead, to hate God that they now love God, and that the Lord now receive the highest place in the hearts of that people for now and forever, people. Because the work of the Lord, that is a perfect work that he wrought and created in the hearts of all his people and of all his children. And of course, Christ had paid for that people, and he appeased the wrath of God, and he took away forever and forever the curse under which they are living and under which they have to live forever and ever, if that mediator and savior, if he came not in between in our life, people. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, said the text. And now, for each and every one, it is clear, because how have he done it? How to get now place? The Lord himself, he had done it. And he had accepted that mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is so perfect, that is so wonderful, that God never come back to his people, that they have to pay for their sins and for their transgressions. but that the Lord cast their sins away in that sea of forgetfulness, and that he shall never, never remember them. He do not see sin in Jacob and iniquity in Israel. No. He looked to his people through the mediatorial work of Christ Jesus with so much gladness, with so much delight, with so much joy, because he had loved Christ and he loved also his people. Therefore, fear not, O people of Israel, and O worm of Jacob, because the Lord is resting in Christ. And what a blessing if it is privileged. The privilege is given to us too. As we now read and sing that, then will I to God's altar go, to God my boundless joy. Yea, God, thy name to praise, my harp I will employ, my harp and will employ. 119, the fourth and the last stanza. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And now Christ had finished the work of salvation. But there is a second point in our text, and that is this, that Christ also perfected salvation for his church, because the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. The law of the ceremony and that was done. The temple that was standing in the midst of the religion people of Israel and of God's people too in the olden days, the building that had done, that was all done. You and heathen that could go free into that temple. There was no more veil. And why? Because you read about Christ in Hebrews 10, that Christ had entered into that heavenly sanctuary which is not made with hands, and that he appeared before his Father not with the blood of bullocks, but that he came there with his own blood, making reconciliation with God. And now Paul, he speaks also in Hebrews 10 and 12 about that new and living way that is opened by Christ through his precious blood. And now the fruit of that congregation for God's people that is, that we also read in that epistle of the Hebrews, where we have such an high priest, in verse 14, that is passed into the heavens, the first one that passed that veil, that was Christ, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, and let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thus, there is now a free access to God. We need no more priest of Levi and of Aaron, no. But now God's people that have an high priest in heaven, and that high priest that had entered and appeared before his Father, and now through that blood of Christ, they receive not only a free access to God's throne, but an acquittal of all their guilt and of all their sin, and a right to life eternal. And now that but that veil that is rent from the top to the bottom, that is the way, the only way, to the Father give all this blessings to his people. And that his grace so rich and so free, that it is granted to his, for his people. Oh, that grace that is so extended that the Lord himself, he said by the prophet Isaiah, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters, and ye that has no money, come ye buy and eat ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." And now every soul that with freedom and liberty come to that throne, the Lord sent them not away. No. The Lord received that people. He accepted that people in love. And through that veil that is rent from the top to the bottom, they taste now that blessed communion with God. There is nothing in between, no guilt, no sin, no wrath, no curse, no. That is all taken away by that blessed Christ. And it is only through him that in the desert of this world, where the best of our days is labor and sorrow, that we receive here an Elim, as the people of Israel received in the desert, where 12 fountains of water and 70 palm trees were to find their rest. That's all the result of that veil that was rent from the top to the bottom. And we have an example in Acts 16 that Paul and Silas, they were in prison. But what happens there at that time, under all the pains that they have and all the troubles, they were singing psalms. The veil of the temple his rent from the top to the bottom. And soon God's people have to die. They may die. The world have to die, but not God's people. God's children, they may die, and death is swallowed up into victory. The sting is taken away by Christ, and they can well be much fear and trembling, and they can be much strife in the heart of that people, but all temporary, all temporary. For those that are in Christ Jesus, death is no paying for sin, no. But it is an entering in eternal glory for all God's dear people. The veil of the temple is rent for God's children. And here they receive the first fruit in their life. When the Lord come to them and that they come to him, that he speaks peace and pardon to their soul and that they rejoice in him. There are moments that the Lord opened the door in the valley of Achor. Is that without Christ? No. That is through Christ. But also the heart of the Father is open for that poor people. And therefore Christ, he said to his disciples once, when they asked him to pray to his Father, he said no. He said, the Father himself love you. I have not to pray for you. And now that veil of the temple that was rent from the bottom, from the top to the bottom. And on the basis of that mediatorial work and the approval of the Father, now the time is coming that all that people, strangers and aliens, here in this world, but that they shall enter in that New Jerusalem, in that country where no inhabitant would say, I am sick, because the people that is there that shall have forgiveness of all their iniquities. And then finally, congregation, here as long as we are in the world, then it remains that our sins that made a separation between the Lord and our soul. Sometime, one thought, that comes up in our mind and become dark in our soul. Sometime, one act, and the Lord is departing from us. But that is no more in heaven, no. No. There is an eternal bliss and felicity for all that people that the Father had loved, that the Son had bought, and that the Holy Spirit prepared for that heavenly Jerusalem. The veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. And now to make use of it by day and by night, people. And that it now become for us a joy and a gladness for our heart. It is now the end of the Passion Weeks. And with all weakness, I know that, oh yes, I will confess that with my whole heart. With all weakness, we have tried to say something about it every Sabbath day. And also this evening, it lays for you and for me. what we have done with. As I say at the beginning this evening, it is possible that it is for the last time in our life that it is Good Friday. 50 years old. And the Lord took both men away out of our midst. They have no thoughts about it, eh? No. But it have taken place. And it can take place with you and with me, congregation. Place the day of death not far away from you. But that we were privileged, that it was day and night on our mind. And then the necessity to be united with Christ, who had finished the work that the Father had given him. Oh, that it become necessarily for our soul, that it become precious for our heart, people. There is no other name given under heaven whereby that we must be saved. There is no other way, no other means. He is the fountain of life, and in thy light we shall see light. Children, boys and girls, ye have heard again the gospel, and the gospel that is in glad tidings, not for Pharisees and not for scribes, but it is in glad tidings for sinners. For sins, for people that have nothing else than sin. And those amongst me in this evening, and I would say privileged, even that you cannot see it, but those that have nothing else than sin, and that have nothing else than guilt in our midst, and sometimes we are afraid for the wrath of God and for the curse of the law. All that they think, I sink away under forever and forever. There is people here in my midst that say sometimes, why was I born? Why was I born? Why did I came in the world? And I tell you something else, people, this evening. Without self, believe that now. Believe that now. Take that as over from me. Without self, people, then our life, that is a great disappointment. That mind and that heart, that is so many times filled with things of time and sense, or with nothing that have any value. And that keep us from the Lord time and again. And that means that there is nothing left to plead upon in ourselves. That I am so in prayer, so men that praise time and again. That I am a person that is sighing all the time. Oh no, we have to condemn ourselves. But oh, that we may look to him who is the author and finisher of faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. He cried out, it is finished. He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. He gave his spirit into the hand of his Father, till that it came back in that body on the morning of the resurrection. And now that Christ, that is all and in all for those who have nothing and who are nothing, then wretched, poor and blind in himself, But for dead people, Christ is all and in all. Amen. Lord, that thy word and testimony be blessed and be sanctified to our hearts, that it have some fruit for our soul for eternity, that we acknowledge thy name, that also in this day, that thy hand has strengthened us in this afternoon and in this evening to proclaim that everlasting gospel. And it is Paul who plant, Apollos who waters, it is the Lord who had given us increase. Oh, that it was for this one or for that one, that the devil is not always laughing, but that the Lord, that his people rejoice in the Lord and in that mediatorial work of Christ. Forgive all our shortcomings. Prepare us for the next Sabbath day, if it can please thee. Bring us back in thy house and make our hearts receptive for the preaching of that risen Christ and that out and of free and sovereign grace for thy great name's sake. Amen. Number 320. Ye gates of peace and joy untold, ye gates of righteousness unfold. 320, the stanzas 1 and 2. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.